Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
On DAB+, online, via the TalkSport app, and on your smart speaker.
The Women's Football Show.
With Leanne Sanderson.
Absolutely first class.
On TalkSport 2.
Hello, this is TalkSport's Women's Football Show podcast. I'm Leanne Sanderson, bringing you loads of exclusive content. We'll be here every week with the very best of the show. Don't forget you can listen back to the full Women's Football Show via the TalkSport app. This week, we're on Monday at 7pm, so swipe for TalkSport 2, find Monday, and you can listen full then. This week, I was joined by former Arsenal and Republic of Ireland goalkeeper and former teammate of mine, Emma Byrne. I'm delighted to say that joining me live in the studio is my friend, former teammate, Arsenal, Republic of Ireland legend, can we reel off any more? It is Emma Byrne. Emma, how are you?
I am very well. I'm excited to be in the big smoke. To be honest, I don't often get up here, so I'm planning a little day trip today. No. Obviously, I'm here to see you.
I was about to say that. You know, it's actually quite funny because you've known me since I was 14 years old, and I'd love to say that it was only a few years, but it's actually been 22 years. You know,
I know, and when you actually look back, like there's things that come up on the TV, like when you're watching women's football. Oh, I remember, yeah, I played, and you're like, how long ago was that? Oh my God, I am literally an L1. I am proper old.
Like, you're not old, you still look great. You remember my nickname for you was Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City. Remember,
oh,
I used to always call you her.
Oh my God.
And you still
so
look
weird.
Like her now with your bob.
That's just weird.
Well, anyway, Emma, you've obviously made a massive move this year. You moved back from Barcelona. You're currently living in the UK. Very similar, I'm sure, living in Brighton, seaside,
same.
Barcelona. Same?
Same. Exact
same weather?
Same. Yeah, it's the same.
Now tell the truth.
No, do you know what? I absolutely love living near Brighton. I didn't want to come back, I'm not going to lie.
Me neither.
I was like, Vicky, you need to sign for someone here in Barcelona. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a third division, I don't care. No, Vicky was so keen to come back to WSL. So it was always going to happen, just a matter of time. But to be honest, we went from Manchester to Rome, back to Barcelona. So Rome wasn't so bad either, I have to say that. And then coming back, I didn't know whether I wanted to do it or not. But I have to say, Brighton is class. I am loving life. Loving it.
Yeah,
and the dogs are loving it, which is way more important.
It is. And we need to preface the fact that your wife is Vicky Lasada, current Brighton captain, been at Barcelona. We were teammates. We all played together at Arsenal when I re-signed for the club. So just to give people a little bit of a background. And talking of our former club at Arsenal, you know, Emma, we got some amazing memories at the club. And I still think that if we had our team now, we would still win. You know, and a lot of the time, just like comparing
Messi to
Maradona.
I can't even tie my laces. I don't know about you. Are you talking about playing now?
No, I'm not talking about playing right now. I'm talking about, you know, how successful our team was. And there's certain moments that now you're sitting next to me. Whenever I see you, I always think about the Champions League final when the ball hit the back of your head and went out for a corner. And there's moments in games.
It hit my face.
There's moments in games where I thought, do you know what? We are getting absolutely steamrolled in this game against Umeå with Marta, Ramona, Backman. And you know, there's moments where you think we're going to win this game. And that was one of those moments.
Yeah, at no point did I ever think we were going to win that. It took the final whistle to actually allow me to breathe, basically. It was just one of those games, wasn't it? We weren't expected to win. We had two games as well, which, you know...
A final. A two-legged final, Champions League final.
I mean, that's how long ago it was. But like, you're talking about cup games and anything can happen. Well, it was two games, so it was just extra special, wasn't it? So, and we did get pummeled, let's be honest.
Like, we did. No, in the final, I mean, you were busy. I remember there was the first leg. I remember Vic would talk about, you know, and Emma Hayes used to tell us about Marta, and I was thinking, yeah, she can't be that good. And I remember she, like, first kick of the game away, she kind of flicked over someone's head, and I remember I wanted to clap her in the middle of the pitch, and I thought, I better run, you know, because she is actually that good.
She was so quick, wasn't she? Just different. I've never played against anybody like her. So quick, so skillful. She was gone. I remember the first couple of minutes of the first game, and Ciara Grant was, I'd say, 80% like on to win the ball. Like, Marta had good time to travel. And she just left Ciara, and Ciara was still standing there looking at the ground. I was like, oh, crap, we better get warm.
Yeah,
we're going to be busy.
Special player. I mean, by far the best player I've ever played against. And I think, you know, the fact that she's still playing now is testimony to her. But I often look back on our Arsenal, you know, time and have unbelievable memories. Do you feel like you look back on that and you think, because no other English team has ever done what we did, win the quadruple, you know, do you ever think a team will ever do it? And if that team is, if anyone's ever going to do it, do you think it'll be Chelsea?
Well, it's looking like that at the minute, isn't it? I mean, we can't even talk about Arsenal because they're not even in the tournament. But that's for another show. It could be Chelsea, but you know what? I just feel like too many things have to go their way for it to happen. Winning the Champions League, like at that point, the only teams that won the Champions League were teams in Germany and Sweden, not nowhere else. So, like, it was just unbelievable. But I think an English team can do it again. I mean, they have the resources. They're improving so much. They can compete. But I always say this, the Champions League, it takes you maybe 3 or 4 years, maybe longer, to actually get used to it, to get accustomed to the level. And it's now that Chelsea have that chance because they've made their mistakes. Now they know what it takes. Got absolutely battered by Barca in the final, and I think that was a bit of a lesson for them. But you know what? It just takes a lot of things to go your way for you to win that tournament, and that's why it's always going to be extra special. Also, I don't want anyone else to win from England. I'm going to be honest.
I know. I get
as soon as an English club wins, that's it. That's
we can no longer say we're the only team to ever have done it.
That's prestigious for us, yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about you. Obviously, you spent a long time in Barcelona. You worked for Barca Television and you've worked over there. How did you find kind of retiring and now you've transitioned into your broadcasting career and now you do it in England as well?
Yeah, I mean, retiring was difficult. You at that stage, we didn't have people helping us for that. It was just kind of on us to get whatever we were doing to get to the next level. So I did find that quite difficult because one minute you're playing at very high level every day. It's like super intense, isn't it, when you're in there? And then the next minute you're nothing. I had to like give back my car. I had to move. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, elaborate a little bit, Em, on that, because I think sometimes people often see, you know, players and they see where the women's game is at now. But talk to me a little bit about your journey. Obviously, a lot of our teammates used to work in the laundry at Arsenal.
I worked in the laundry.
And that's something to be ashamed of. It is
no,
what it is.
I loved it. Me and Yvonne Tracy, another Irish girl, we had such a laugh in there. Yeah, I mean, we were working. I actually think we were quite lucky, actually, because in our generation, we had to work, we had to study because football was it came second to that, and we didn't make enough money. So actually, I got my education, I got my degree, I worked, I had all that experience, which allowed me to transition a little bit easier from playing to retiring, basically. And I worry about the new age footballers. I worry about them. I won't name names, but there are certain players I would worry about more. It's coming to their retirement age and they have nothing. They don't know what they're going to do. They think that they're going to go into journalism and commentary and stuff like that. But they don't realise it's not easy. It's a really difficult thing to be good at. Obviously, you can go in and you can chat crap or whatever, but you have to prepare. You have to be good at it. You have to know the cues. There's a lot of stuff you have to know. And that's like coaching as well. Players think they can just go from playing to coaching. No, there's a lot of stuff you have to do to become a coach. And it's not easy. And it's not a natural thing for a footballer to just become a coach. Sometimes it is, but a lot of the times you have to learn a lot on how to, you'll have the ideas, you know what you're talking about, but can you deliver that message to the players, which is the most difficult thing. So I feel like we were a little bit lucky because I did all that prep while I was playing. I got my coaching badges, got my journalism degree, was working a little bit while I was playing, whereas players nowadays, they're not really pushed to do that. And I think that's a shame. So, yeah, it's a little bit worrying for some of those players.
It becomes your definition being a footballer, doesn't it? And then when that's taken away from you, and I say taken away because, you know, sometimes you choose to retire, sometimes players don't choose because they have to retire due to injury. But I think it is really hard. And I love the fact that you brought this up because I think, you know, a lot of people just think about what you're doing now and they think about all the broadcasting you're doing and the commentaries you're doing, but they don't think about what that feeling is like. And I think a lot of people can relate to that, Em.
Yeah, they can. But, you know, I feel like I was lucky as well because my family and friends at home, they're not really into football. So that was my escape. Whenever I got to go back to Dublin, we didn't speak about football. It was just their lives, their 25 kids they had there.
25 kids.
You know, it was just a completely different world. And I really appreciated that. So when I retired, it was easy for me to switch off from that and take a little break. I needed a break, to be honest, especially after the whole strike with the Irish team as well. That took a lot out of me. Anyway, it's all good. So I moved to Barcelona with Vicky and just started something different, started teaching, qualified in teaching, and just completely switched off from it. And then obviously you miss it because it is your life. You've spent so many years playing. So you slowly get back into it, or at least I did. And yeah, now I'm fully immersed again. And you know what? Being with the Irish team, it took a lot for me to say yes to that as well because I was still, you know, thinking about people I've worked with who, you know, kind of, it wasn't a great experience for me. So I needed to make sure the people I was working with were good people and wanted to help develop me as a coach and work together and stuff like that. Like, it had to be a good working environment. So that was brilliant for me because it was, up until Christmas, it was brilliant with Eileen, with Colin Healy, just really good people, and Richie Fitzgerald, just really good people. So yeah, I've definitely got the goo back for it, put it that way.
There was another drama-filled WSL weekend to catch up on, so Emma and I broke down the biggest stories from the latest rounds of fixtures.
It was another action-packed weekend in the WSL, with goals in all six of the games. But has this year's title charge turned into a two-horse race? They might have won the WSL three times before, but Arsenal could be out of this one now. No team has ever won the WSL after losing more than two games in a season, and the Gunners just suffered their third in a shock 2-1 defeat to West Ham. Goals from Vivian Asai and Hawa Sissoko gave the Hammers their first ever WSL victory over Arsenal. No trouble for the other title contenders, though. It was 1-2-3 goals again for Chelsea. Two controversial penalties and a late bit of skill from Aaron Cuthbert saw the Blues triumph over an Everton side who had put up an admirable fight. Manchester City left it late, but Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly put two past Leicester in the end. They remain 3 points behind the leaders. Brighton travelled to Manchester United for the first match since the sacking of their manager Melissa Phillips. The Seagulls put up a decent fight, but a brace from Nikita Paris gave the Red Devils the win. Paris brings her goal tally this season to 8. She's in with a chance at the Golden Boot. Bristol City proved they're not going down without a fight. They twice came from behind to secure a 2-2 draw against a wasteful Aston Villa side. And Liverpool and Tottenham shared the points after the Reds managed a stoppage time equaliser to cancel out Celine Bizet's opener. Now, there may be no WSL this weekend, but when the league resumes, the next round of matches could be title-defining. Chelsea will take on Manchester City. It's the champions against the challengers. But who will come out on top?
Now, Em, I obviously am delighted that we're both former Gooners in the studio today. I didn't think I'd be sitting here talking about the fact that our former side lost 2-1 to West Ham. So we have to start there. I mean, it's a really big shock, isn't it? And how impactful is this going to be for West Ham in their relegation battle and Arsenal in their title hopes?
Yeah, it's massive, isn't it? First of all, for West Ham, I don't think they're even going to be in a relegation battle, to be honest. I think it is just two clubs that are in the relegation battle. And West Ham are only going to get better, aren't they? Especially with the new signings Rian Skinner brought in. In regards to Arsenal, it is a shock. It is a shock, and it isn't for me because, you know, I do think Arsenal are the best team in the league, I have to say, but they're too inconsistent. Yeah, I do.
Elaborate on that a little
bit. I think they've got the potential, and when they've played well, when they've played against Chelsea, they look like the best team. I've watched City, I've watched Chelsea. I can pick points where you can get at them. Like, I can see where you can beat them. With Arsenal, I can't see it. They're so strong.
Do you think they just never seem to get it done, though?
It's in the box. It's players in the box. It's movement in the box. It's committing numbers in the box, because they do everything else. They do really well. They keep possession. They play really nice through the third. That system, that two hold in and the three and then the one, it just allows them to play really nice football, nice triangular passing, and they do it really well. They do it the best in the league, and that's what I'm going off. But at the end of the day, when they get the ball, when they get in wide areas, when they get the ball into the box, they don't have enough players in there. They don't have enough movement in there. It's really static. From day one, that's been the case since Liverpool, the first day. And they do work in it, but maybe not enough. Like, you look at Chelsea and how they get numbers in the box and how they convert crosses. It's just incredible. Especially the first four games of the season. They were so good. I was like, this is it. This is the level. And Arsenal just haven't improved on that. And it's the only thing. But, I mean, when you drop points like that and drop points in two games before that, not before that, two games in the league, you can't expect to win the league. And you shouldn't at the level it's at. But, you know, Chelsea aren't playing well either.
Yeah.
Like, Chelsea shouldn't really be at the top because they're not playing well. But at the end of the day, when the opposition or the other teams aren't playing or doing enough, you can't really blame Chelsea for that either, can you?
No, it's true. But you spoke about it there, about the transfers and players that Rian Skinner's brought in. Katrina Gori, within the game yesterday, I thought was absolutely brilliant. Although I thought there should have been a penalty on her. What do you make of that signing and the impact she's had in a short space of time?
Yeah, I mean, she's a good player. She's tenacious, which is what West Ham needed. She puts herself about in there. 100% penalty. I mean, you want to talk about referees this weekend? No, thanks. I don't want to do it. But it definitely should have been a penalty. And that would have changed things, obviously. But yeah, she makes a difference. But still, Sissoko's my favourite player in West Ham. I just love watching her.
Really?
Play. I just love it. I love it. I would have loved to have her as a centre-half. I would have just buzzing off her.
Yeah, I think often in these moments, you know, people dissect and talk about how, like, bad Arsenal were, but I think we have to give a lot of credit to West Ham. And also, talking of Arsenal, Leah Williamson back in the 11, and obviously now Miedema's back and Beth Mead's back. How much pressure do you think Arsenal will be feeling now, having all these players back? And also, you know, how do you fit them all back in? Is it upset the flow a little bit?
Well, you don't fit them all in. That's the problem. And, you know, they have an absolutely brilliant squad. And I said it a couple of games ago. I was like, they have no excuse to lose this league. Like, they have the squad. We talk about squads and how you need to utilise all the players towards the end of the league. Well, this is it. They have it. They've made a class signing with Fox. I think she's brilliant.
Oh, brilliant.
But it's just about what they're doing on the pitch, and at the end of the day, that is when you do have to look at the manager. And you know, you've got everything you need. You've got all the resources. Obviously, I think Katie McCabe was a huge loss yesterday. Massive loss, I think, when she's on the pitch. She brings more than just talent. You know, she brings a fight. But yeah, I mean, it's difficult because you're expecting more from them, and I'm always expecting, and you know what it was like at Arsenal. The standards were so high in every single thing we did. Like, that was Wenger effect, wasn't it? Everything you did, whether it was just walking through the building, whether it was whatever, going up for lunch, you had to be an Arsenal player.
And yeah, absolutely.
That meant the standards were really high. And sometimes I look at that and I look at them on the pitch, and yeah, we would have killed each other and taken heads off, and there would have been huge arguments on the pitch, but at least you could see that passion and you're trying to fix something on the pitch. Whereas, you know, I kept hearing them say on the commentary, there's no plan B. Well, someone has to step up. And I always think when Kim Little's not on the pitch, they lack that leadership. whatever else, she's brilliant. I mean, she's a fantastic player, but they definitely lack that leadership when she's not on there.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it as well. I just don't think Jonas Edervall's that guy. Like, I just don't think he's the guy that I think Arsenal's managerial people that they've got in place in recent years, I just don't think have been the level that Arsenal has been expected to be at.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because, I mean, it's hard though. It's the same, well, you know all about United. When you're winning and you have this, it's the same with Wenger, and you have a manager that's so successful and the team that's so successful, it's really difficult to continue that when things change. And it's the same with players. Like, a big group of us left. That was not just, you know, talent-wise, you're talking about the culture.
Culture is a big thing. Yeah. That's the biggest thing for me, culture. It leads me to the next game. I think I have a feeling that when you said about two teams being in a relegation battle, Bristol City will definitely obviously be one of them. Huge point against Aston Villa at the weekend, you know. And how difficult is it for a team like Bristol City coming into this league? Because obviously they're expected to lose every single game. And I do feel for them, because it's always going to be difficult for them to compete. But a point against Aston Villa is a decent result for them.
It is. Any point is decent for them at this stage, isn't it? But yeah, I just think, you know, I've been looking at the Championship as well a lot lately, and they are building, they are getting better. But it's hard, isn't it, for one team to come up, one team to go down. Like, you're expecting that team to go down unless you make some really big signings. And sometimes these clubs just don't have the resources to do that. But I think with Bristol, they had a shaky start. They've realised they are going to have to defend and park the bus. That's okay. And they realise they're going to have to play counter-attacking football. So they do look a little bit better. They've signed a really good goalkeeper. I think she's excellent. I thought she played brilliant the weekend. She's very good and she's going to make a big difference there. So if you actually look at Brighton and Bristol, the two teams who are basically going to be fighting to stay up, Bristol looked a little bit better the weekend. Brighton were a little bit disappointing for me against United.
Yeah, and look at Aston Villa, 36 shots, only two goals. Carla Ward last year with Aston Villa, they finished fifth. I think they overachieved last year, but they haven't been that great this season. What do you put that down to?
Players underperforming, I think that's the main thing. Carla Ward's still there, she hasn't changed. And you look at the team, at the start it was because Daly was missing, who's a huge player for them. Daly comes back in, she's playing well, but not to the level she was playing last season. Obviously you have to talk about Rachel Daly. She's not scoring, she's getting in the positions, she's just not hitting the back of the net. I don't think Hansen is playing at her best.
And also Lucy Staniforth and Jordan Nobbs this year, at times they've been on the bench, which I was quite surprised at.
Yeah, I mean, Staniforth was starting a lot of them. Jordan was coming in and out. Jordan always needs that time to settle in a team, and I think she has found her rhythm. She looks better already this season. But when so many players are underperforming, and a team like Aston Villa, where they depended on that drive from Daly, that drive from Daly, it was a World Cup year last year. I'm wondering, has that got anything to do with it? Because, you know, obviously when there's something so big happening, your players are more motivated, more driven. It might be a little bit of hangover from that, I'm not sure. But either way, the players aren't performing.
Yeah, that's a really good point about that. And the next game, Manchester United 2, Brighton 0. Another week, another brace for Nikita Paris. And talk to me a little bit about what your thoughts on Nikita Paris are, because I don't think, I can't believe sometimes, I mean, at Stamford Bridge, Mark Skinner put her on the bench, and she seems to me the only goal threat they seem to really possess. What do you make of Nikita Paris this season since she made the move to Manchester United?
Yeah, I think she's been really, really good. She's a great player to have in the squad. The problem is when you've got a lot of good players in your team, you have to make those decisions. And at the time where Nikita was trying to break through, you also had Lucia Garcia in there, the same position. And it was difficult for Mark Skinner because he wouldn't start either of them. He'd bring Lucia on, she'd score a couple of goals, she's an excellent impact sub, so okay, I'm going to give her a chance to start. Then that wasn't really working, and it was the exact same for Nikita. So, you know, it was difficult to make that choice. But now on Nikita's performances, she has to play, doesn't she? She has to start. And she just has more of a calmness about her. She gets in better positions, and you know, I don't think he can afford to drop her at this stage.
Yeah, what do you make of what Mark Skinner's done at Manchester United? Because I know there's been a lot of the fans have been not very happy. They always seem to lose their best players, Mary Earps potentially being one of them in the summer as well. What do you make of the job that he's done at Manchester United? And where do you see Mary Earps ending up?
Well, do you know, there's a lot of talk about Mark Skinner, but I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know if he's been given the budget. I don't know if he's being told keep them no matter what. I imagine he's not, because it wouldn't make sense to let these players go and not be able to replace them. I have a feeling it's out of his hands, because otherwise, why as a manager would you not want to replace Ona Abate if you can? You can't, but somebody very, very close to her level. And then, of course, realistically, Mary's probably going in the summer. I don't know that. You know, sometimes I say stuff and people are like, oh, that's true. Emma Byrne said it. No, I don't know, but maybe she's going in the summer, maybe. And if that's the case, well, I think it's going to be really bad news for United, because they haven't replaced the players. They look like a fourth place team, if that, at this stage. We can forget about Champions League competing, because I wouldn't even put them in the same breath as, you know, competing for the WSL.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now let's talk about a team that's close to your heart. Your wife is club captain. It's been a weird week for Brighton, obviously losing Melissa Phillips. And talk to me a little bit about the consensus of how people received that, because I think a lot of people were quite shocked that Melissa Phillips, you know, isn't there anymore. I think a lot of people have felt that way, that she should have been given more time.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shock, wasn't it? There was no, as far as I know, there was no indication that she was going to lose her job. Obviously, she's under pressure. She was allowed to sign a lot of players. She signed a lot of footballing players. The club itself, they want all of their teams to play a certain way, from the men's to the kids. And that's, you know, playing out and playing through the thirds and defenders who can play, midfielders, transitions. And sometimes maybe they struggle to do that. Not maybe, they do struggle to do that a little bit. But in regards to sacking, I don't really understand why. She was... seemed to be very organised, and she knew exactly what she wanted, and it was a shock for the players, shock for everyone really. So I mean, I don't know where they're going to go from here. They haven't got a replacement, so I can't imagine it was planned, otherwise you'd have a replacement already. Yeah. Ready, especially at this really important point of the season.
Well, Mikey Harris obviously took over interim. He's taken over during the interim time now. Currently they're in 5 points off of the relegation. What's he like? Would he want to put himself forward for the job permanently, do you think?
I mean, I don't know. He's coming from the boys' side, and I'm not sure what he's thinking about it. But, you know, it's a big job. It's not an easy job. You've got a team there. And looking at them at the weekend is quite frustrating, because we're not talking about listening to formations or how you're going to play in the team. It's about passion, about getting your foot in, about defending, about not letting crosses come into the area. So I feel sometimes there's a lot of information given to the players and how you want to do this, and it's all very technical and all, you know, new, like, technology and all. Just put your foot in, mate. Yeah. Just put a tackle in.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Now, the next game we're going to get into is Manchester City 2, Leicester 0. But before we talk about the game, let's hear from Manchester City boss Gareth Taylor, who spoke to TalkSport's Jeff Peters after the game.
You're in great form at the moment. You look like you're not going away in this title race.
No, we want to be there. We said to the girls before the game, 10 to go, 9 after this one. Put the WSL to bed now for 2 weeks and concentrate on two other competitions. We got to play Chelsea next, so you know we're in a good place, and I have to give the players great credit for that. You know, the way they've managed things, the way they've trusted what we do, and yeah, the signs are really good. I think to give a special mention to the players, and this is a squad game, as we know. I think Jess Park has been fantastic, the way she came onto the pitch and the way she created a lot of energy for us and quality. And yeah, they're really pushing to make a start because we've not changed the team much because we're getting fluidity and rhythm. But those guys are as important as the players.
Are you enjoying the season?
I'm enjoying it, yeah. Yeah, I really am, because I think I always look at performance. I don't really look at the results. I know the results come on the back of a performance. That's what I always look at. And sometimes if we come away today and gone 0-0 but played fantastically well, it's created a lot of chances, you know where we've been short. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's a good challenge. I think we're doing it in a kind of like sensible way, doing what we do and trusting what we do, and things are looking good at the moment.
Now, two late goals for Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly. What do you make of Manchester City this season, and are they genuine title contenders?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually said right from the start. You always say this, right, when it's not on record, but I really like how City play, and I think that they could win the league this year. That's what I said in October. And I thought they were on form and they were well on their way, because for me, they were playing the best football in the league. I like how they play. They've got really good footballers. They don't have any weaknesses. Goalkeeping area, you can talk about. But they drop points, and again, it's about that consistency. And but they do look good, I have to say. They look very, very good, and these couple of months coming up are really going to sort out that mental side of the game. Like, because you look at Arsenal, you look at City, who I would say are on a par, actually, and then you look at Chelsea. I know that sounds weird because Chelsea are on top, but playing wise, I think it's City and Arsenal, and you know, Chelsea just know how to win, whereas I feel like Arsenal and City don't know how to win, like the dirty wins and the scrappy wins.
Because going back to City though as well, I think like, I always think they've underachieved with the budget they have, with all the players they've had come through the door in the last kind of 5 to 7 years. I just don't think they've ever reached the heights that they should be. I mean, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I feel like with the players they've had over the years, they should have already been like, it shouldn't be a question that they make in the Champions League. You know, yeah, they should be in Champions League finals with the budget that they have.
No, I agree. And last season, the fact that they didn't make Champions League, I was like, my jaw dropped, and it was still dropped in September, and nobody was really talking about it. And well, my jaw double dropped when Arsenal got knocked out as well. But absolutely, this club has been building now. It's not in its infancy. It's been building for the last 5-6 years. So I absolutely think they should be winning this league. Well, certainly closer to winning, and they certainly should be in Champions League, given, you know, the top team's a problem. But I mean, where do you go then? They were talking about Gareth Taylor. Is there a problem there? I thought he was going to get the sack if they didn't make Champions League. That was the general consensus. But they have faith in him, which, you know, I kind of respect as well, because there's too many managers getting the sack, you know, too quickly. But there has to be a question. Do you support this women's team? Are you ambitious enough in this club to, you know, you should be winning, you should be in Champions League finals, as you said. And if you're not making Champions League, you know, even qualifications, then the question has to be asked. And I'm sure they have been. But I think it's kind of paying off, because the way Gareth Taylor has them playing, they're playing really well. I think he's finally got his team. This for me was the big problem. They were so inconsistent, their first 11. You cannot play great football week in, week out if you don't have the bones of your team starting every week. And it was changed way too much from goalkeepers to back lines. Like, I'm a bit strange. I have to have my back four as a goalkeeper consistent. And there were too many changes. And they seem to be a little bit more steady this, although not completely. And I think this might be the problem at the end of the season for them, the fact that they haven't got the 11 that they would generally play with.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about Leicester City. Willie Kirk has lost 14 WSL matches, never beaten Gareth Taylor, but it took until the 82nd minute, you know, for them to break the deadlock, and they only had one shot on goal. What do you make of Leicester City this year and the job that Willie Kirk has done?
I think he's done brilliant. I think he's done a brilliant job with them. You look at that team and they're all fighting for each other. They like to press. They're a very difficult team to play against. And, you know, that's saying their number one keeper is out. She's not playing at the minute, who was the reason they stayed up last season. So, you know, they've just progressed through under Willie Kirk. And he just has them very, very organised, very fit, very physical. And that's exactly what a team needs to be when they come up. Like the likes of Bristol, the likes of Brighton, they need to be fit, physical and very difficult to beat. And that's the difference between their team and the teams below them.
And obviously, like, they held Manchester City up until the 82nd minute. They played like a 4-5-1. The only maybe question could he have potentially have gone for the game? But then do you leave yourself open against a team like Manchester City to kind of steamroll you?
No, I don't think you go for those games. You know, if you can counter, do it by all means. But the main thing is to try and keep a clean sheet. And, you know, we've seen games this season, like teams have tried to do that and then they've nicked one really fluky goal. So I'm sure that's exactly what they would have wanted. But at the end of the day, it's about trying to keep a team like City out.
Our next game is Liverpool 1, Tottenham Hotspur 1. And obviously Spurs had a chance to leapfrog Liverpool, but instead conceded a really late equaliser. As a goalkeeper, they've kept Tottenham 2 clean sheets in 15 games. What do you make of that? I have a feeling what you make of that. But what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? But, I mean, you talk about Tottenham, we were looking at Chelsea's clean sheets as well, which aren't many. They've changed their keeper in Spurs. You know, I love Rebecca Spencer. Me and you played with Becky for many, many years. But this goalkeeper they've brought in has done well. I mean, her first game was against Arsenal. They went and beat Arsenal. So, I mean, she's obviously going to stay in there. Yeah, I mean, defensively, they're not great, let's be honest. And, you know, you have to try and tighten up and be stronger. They were getting beat a lot with crosses and finishes in the area, not locking on to players, and things like that that can be fixed. So, again, I don't think they're going to be in a relegation battle. So it's about, you know, just trying to do as best they can and trying to get rid of those errors.
And Liverpool currently sitting in fifth. Matt Beard said after the game he felt like the draw was a fair result. What do you make of their season so far?
I think they've done really well. I wasn't expecting them. I was expecting it to be a battle between Brighton, Bristol, Liverpool, and Leicester. And Liverpool, right from the off, beating Arsenal, have just kind of, they staked their claim, like, we're going to be up there. And actually, that they are, and they've been playing really, really well. Few injuries here and there. I mean, Liverpool are the type of team that if they get injuries, it's going to be really difficult. So I think Matt Beard's done really well with the squad he has.
And we've spoken a lot about Chelsea already, which leads me on to our last game. Chelsea 3, Everton 0. Now, Mayra Ramirez is a player that you would have seen a lot at Levante. What have you made of her so far? And, you know, obviously it's her second appearance, her first start. Yesterday, she looked absolutely unbelievable. Strong, quick, tenacious, technically really good. What do you make of this price tag as well? Do you think she's absolutely worth it?
I don't even know how much.
420,000.
I don't care, because she's, well, she's worth it. I actually don't care what they've paid for her. Totally worth it. I mean, the World Cup, she was just absolutely brilliant to watch, wasn't she, against Millie Bright. I absolutely loved it. She's been really good at Levante, but for that physical aspect, I wouldn't have said she was the best finisher, but that they're looking for a player to hold up the ball up to get down the sides, and that's exactly what she's doing. I went to watch Chelsea train the other week, last week, and I just was watching her, and she's just an absolute beast. Like, she just beasts everyone off the ball, and just completely different to what we have in the league, to be quite honest. And I think she's an absolute brilliant signing for Emma. Considering Sam's out now, she's going to be a great player to hold up. And she's only going to get better as well. You haven't seen anything, by the way.
Oh, I can't wait. You excite me even more now after seeing her yesterday. And Erin Cuthbert, I mean, captained the team yesterday. What a player she is. I mean, her story is also incredible. The fact that Chelsea played against Glasgow in a preliminary round of the Champions League a few years ago, and Emma Hayes does what Emma Hayes does. Recruits.
Yeah, she's the one who recruited Kim Little for Arsenal. So, you know, apart from her many talents, which we're all sick of hearing about, right? She's a very good scout as well. And Erin Cuthbert is absolutely brilliant. She's the exact player you want in that midfield. And even better when she plays a bit higher. And now that they've got loopholes back, we can push Erin a little bit higher. And that's where she really comes into form.
And Everton, currently 10th with 3 wins in 13. I asked Farah last week about these types of teams like Everton with the budgets. And, you know, we touched on it before. How do you think that teams like Everton can really compete in this league along with Bristol and those types of teams with just not having the budget?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's really difficult. But you have, as I said before, you have to become a team hard to beat. And I think Everton have done brilliant as well. And as long as you have a good goalkeeper and a good defence, you're halfway there. And I think with Courtney Brosnan, I'm not just saying it because she's Irish, but she is one of the best goalkeepers in the league. I'm just putting it out there. And I think they've done really, really well. Again, they've got really fit, really physical. I think Heather Payne, am I just mentioning all the Irish players here?
Yeah, you are. I was biased towards Man United, but now I'm realising you're even more.
Yeah, United needs some more Irish players. That's what they need. I just think they've grown in confidence, and again, they're very well drilled and very well organised. And I personally would not want to be playing against Everton when it's coming towards the end of the season and you have to win every game.
And Emma Hayes is a good friend of ours, you know, and I want to talk to you a little bit about her now leaving Chelsea after 12 years and going to take the US Women's National Team job. What do you make of that?
I think it's a great move for her, to be honest. She's been at Chelsea a very long time, and you know, she deserves one of the biggest jobs in the women's game, and that is with the US national team. As much as they were so bad in the World Cup, I think it's a great time to go in there because there is room for improvement. It's not as if she's taken over a team that, you know, it's not as if like she's taken over Barca. Where can you go? The US national team, there's a lot of work to do, and I think Emma's perfect for that job. And she said it herself, it frees up a bit of time for her to spend with her son, and that is her priority as well. So it's a great move for her, and I think she's going to be very good for them.
Hopefully with that 1.6 million salary, she'll be able to take us out for a drink.
Oh, I'm not going to hold her to that.
And finally, during my visit to Florida last week for the second NWSL seminar, I spoke to another former teammate of mine, Laurie Lindsay, and asked her all about her transition from playing to working in broadcasting.
For any athlete, right, regardless of what sport you play, it can be a challenging transition because of how much most of us love the game, right? The routines that come with it, our schedules. You and I, as you mentioned, are teammates, had so much fun with various different teams. But then when you finally hang up the boots, it can be really challenging just to figure out your identity. And so for me, I actually didn't jump right into broadcast. I was doing strength and conditioning for young athletes. And after a couple of years of that, I just was like, actually felt further away from the game than I wanted to.
Wait, strength and conditioning, but you went on Ninja Warrior. Is that your idea of strength and conditioning? Because you're still super fit.
No, hold on one second. Okay, strength and conditioning for young athletes, right? Because obviously ACLs are prominent. That was a component of my playing days, which is like fitness and strength and conditioning in that realm. American Ninja Warrior was a side note, major side note, and absolutely not. First of all, soccer skills do not translate to American Ninja Warrior because I was terrible. I slipped on like the first lily pads, fell in the water, hurt my shin and shoulder. It was a bit of a disaster. Anyway, that's a side note. And no one should ever see those clips, right?
I agree. I mean, I wouldn't be able to do it. Right. Did you feel more nervous doing something like that than you did probably playing?
Yeah, in some ways, because you don't totally feel prepared. And so that was really challenging. So I went American Ninja Warrior. However, when I decided I didn't want to do strength and conditioning as a profession, broadcast had been something that people had kind of been talking to me about since I had retired. I made a contact and then just like attacked it as I was a player, right? And just like I haven't looked back, and it's been awesome.
Yeah, and obviously I don't want to talk too much about the growth of the game because it's so like typical that everyone says stadiums selling out and those types of things. But what have you seen has been the biggest differences from when you retired comparison to now?
I mean, I think the level of play is incredible, right? And I think the thing that we're starting to see is, one, the play, but the amount of players that are playing at the highest level. So again, I mean, we don't want to talk about growth, but I just think about the smallest details are getting that much better, the athletes, right, the speed of play, everything. But what I enjoy that has been a ton of fun here in the NWSL as well is just how the tactics are starting to change, right? We've been known as a transitional league. Now you're starting to see different coaches come in, implement more possession styles. So it's creating some like diversity and variation in the style of the play, which I think make it fun and, you know, force everyone to be that much better and coaches to be better as well.
And talking of coaches, do you think it's made a difference to the fact that, you know, Sean Nahas is the North Carolina Courage head coach, but other than that, correct me if I'm wrong, he's the only American coach in the league. You know, you've got Amy Rodriguez now obviously coming in right. with Utah.
Bev Yanez,
that wasn't there last year, but in the league there was loads of English, you know, Juan Carlos Amaros at Gotham. So do you think that's played a difference in kind of the style of play we've seen in the NWSL?
I definitely do. I think one of the things that you would hear coaches, players in the UK, WSL, why they want to play in those leagues outside of the high level is because of Champions League, right? You get a chance. And one thing that I've heard players and coaches say is that makes them that much better because you're facing, you know, an England defender. And then if you're a defender, you're going up against a Spanish attacker, right? It gives you such a variation and a better global sense of the game. And I think having different ideologies, different tactical ideas in the game, principles in our league brings that, right? So I'm not trying to compare those to Champions League. I'm just saying you're getting a variation. It's forcing you to think differently. You're having to prepare your teams in a different way for different styles.
So obviously a lot of WSL fans listen to my show, yep. And I get asked the question a lot, which league is better? I don't like to say really, because I think they're completely different. I think it's like comparing, you know, Messi to Maradona, completely different, similar, but different types of players, right? Different era. What do you think the biggest differences are between the NWSL and the WSL?
Well, I love this question because I agree with you and you and myself and Jackie Utley have had these discussions a ton, right? About like which one's better, and we don't like that, as you just mentioned, because they each have their own positives, right? That you can pull from them that I think make them special. But I would say the biggest differences are, one, scheduling. I mean, these are like pretty high level things, right? Schedules, they can play different calendars. We're in more of a summer league, obviously. You're on the European calendar in the WSL. There's trades and drafts here in WSL at transfer windows, right? You have Champions League, we don't here. So salary cap, those are some basic level. But I also think you can't not talk about culturally, right? We've had Title IX here that drove our national team. And then from there, we've seen clubs, right? And I think potentially, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on this, in the UK in general, well, or England, FA, you're banned from playing. That set you back in terms of the game, right? But now you're starting to see the clubs improve everything, and then that's pushed your national team that much further, right? So I would say how those kind of have started has flip-flopped, right? And that comes down to culturally and societally how we've pushed the game and women forward.
And talking of national teams, Emma Hayes is coming to be the US Women's National Team coach. What do you make of that, and how excited are you excited as I am? What has been the consensus from the American fans and pundits and media? What do you think the consensus has been? Because obviously back home, everybody's kind of like looking forward to her going, because obviously she's been at Chelsea now for 12 years, but she obviously ultimately needs a fresh challenge and a change. But what's everybody made of it here?
Yeah, well, first of all, congrats to Emma, because obviously what she's done at Chelsea is unprecedented. And from the infancy of that team in the game, essentially, to where they are now, I mean, it's incredible, right? And so I think anytime you get a coach of that caliber, it's massive. So the reaction has been hell yeah, because we're at a part, as we know, didn't perform as well as we wanted to at the World Cup. We're at a process now, we're at in a time where we need something different. And so I think Emma brings that, right? She has experience in our previous league, so she understands the American landscape. Obviously, her success as a coach in general. Put those two together, I mean, it's an excellent recipe, right? And so personally, Hell yeah, how lucky are we, right, to have her here.
I completely agree with you, and this is my last little fun thing we do at the end of every show. It's called Sanderson's Fire Five. Okay. So my first question to you, who's the best player that you've played with other than me?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, you are the first.
I know it's going to be me.
Ooh, I have two, right, for okay. different reasons. Caroline Sager, Amari Sawa.
Okay, what's the best player that you've played against?
Ooh. Probably those two as well.
What, so played with and played against,
two? Yeah, because the two of them have these, and I would say some people would say, yes, makes sense, I pick Amari Sawa. Excellent 1v1, so difficult, had all the tools that you would think of a Japanese team, right? But like, physical presence as well, I mean, could do it all, like just superb, and like in a quiet way, so right, it was like lethal when you least expected it. Brilliant and wonderful, just love being around her. Same with Caroline Sager, a different player, but I don't think many people would be like, oh, you're the best and hardest to play against, but had has an understanding of the game that, yeah, is like nuanced in a way that it's not always seen with like just like the natural eye, right? And so when you're with her on a day in and day out, you were on the team with us, incredible to play with. And yeah. different skill set than I did, right? And I think that's why it was like fun and difficult to play.
And I think you and Caroline Sager complemented each other really well.
Absolutely.
And holiday destination?
Ooh. Well, I was just in Mexico City for 3 weeks practicing my Spanish. Brilliant city, and I'd go back there, and that's the top of mind right now.
And favorite movie?
Well, listen, Cocktail, because I was a huge Elizabeth Shue fan when I was younger.
I was Tom Cruise.
You were Tom Cruise, I was Elizabeth Shue, so that tells it all.
Yeah, that just about says it all. And you're just an all-round awesome person. I'm so lucky that, you know, thanks for joining me here today, Laurie. We are currently in Fort Lauderdale at the second NWSL, you know, seminar, and I'm just delighted that I get to see you again.
Oh,
Mushroom.
Oh my gosh, I love you too. Same mutual feelings, you're the best.
And after hearing the interview, Emma and I had a little chat about the NWSL. Emma, I just want to talk to you a little bit now about the transfers that we've seen this week, especially in the NWSL. A lot of players, you know, when I went over there, there was a lot of us that went that way. Now a lot of players seem to want to stay in England. But a big signing this week, Jem Beattie going over to Bay FC. What did you make of that?
I was shocked, to be honest. Usually I get wind of something, but that was very much kept under the radar. Again, I think it's a good move for Jen. You know, I do think the WSL is the best league in the world, and I'm not just saying that because we're here. I believe it is. I've watched many leagues. But for someone like Jen, who hasn't been playing week in, week out, she's coming towards the end of her career. Jen's the type of person that does like to experience different things. So I think it's a nice move for her. I think she's going to enjoy it out there, and it's going to be a nice way for her to probably finish her career. I'm not retiring her. She could continue for many years, but I have a feeling she might retire after this one.
And a player that you've watched closely for a number of years at Barcelona, Assis Ashuala, has gone over to Bay FC as well. What do you make of that signing?
I think it's a great signing for both parties. She needed to get out of Barca. She wasn't getting her game. You know, she's still at the level where she can give great experience, and she's at a high level. She's still very, very quick. I want to see all the players coming to WSL, I'm not going to lie, but I think it's going to be a good league for her. And she's improved so much. Like when Assisat came to us at Arsenal, she was still quite raw. There was still a lot of things she needed to improve on, like especially our style of play. She was losing the ball a little bit. And then she went from Arsenal, and then she went to China, I think, and then to Barca, which is obviously another possession-based team. Not as good as us, though, Lee, but, you know, they're nearly there. And she had to learn a lot, and she's improved so much with her back-to-goal play and link-up play. So I'm excited to see how she does over there.
And then another player that I actually really enjoyed, I played against her a number of times, Jessie Fleming, going to the Portland Thorns from Chelsea. I think this move, I said it a couple of years ago, she needs to play regular football. And Emma Hayes has been a fantastic coach for her, you know, teaching her things, getting her from such a young age. What did you make of that, signing to the Portland Thorns?
Yeah, again, I thought it was a great move for her. She wasn't getting enough game time, as you said, with Chelsea. A little bit more, maybe because of injury. But I just thought, I mean, when I watched the Champions League game against Paris in Stamford Bridge, she still can give something. But, you know, Chelsea are gone to another level now. It's about the small margins. It's about you being a very, very good player. Okay, well, I need an excellent player.
So I do think it was a good move for her, and she's going to play out there, and she's still a great little player.
That's all for today. Thanks so much for joining us. And I'll be back next Monday for another instalment of the Women's Football Show, where we'll break down the Women's Champions League draw and take a closer look at how things are heating up in the Championship.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.